Well, I've enjoyed the half week. I hope that we all have. It's been a good time to study God's Word together, and I hope we've all benefited from it. I hope we've also, as we've had opportunity for people to come and worship with us, at least you let people know we're here, and we can continue to share that and let people know that we worship here, and would love for them to come and worship with us when they can. It's very clear in the Bible that the church is made up of local congregations. We've talked this week, this half week since Sunday, about believing, but also about doing the work, working together to make the church what it is. Doing something has been the theme of the week. How faith and works can come together and how we have to have both in order to be saved. And in these local congregations that are made up and have been made up through history, that's where the work's done. We said that when we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we're added to the Lord's church. God adds us to His church. Then we become a part of a local congregation. And that's where we do the work. We work in the kingdom. The church at Jerusalem was one of the churches. In Acts chapter 2, that's the church as it began in Jerusalem. And remember later on, it's going to be scattered. In Acts chapter 8, that church is scattered because of persecution. But that is one congregation. Another congregation, we read of the church at Antioch, and we'll be looking at that church in just a minute, briefly. We read about the church in Corinth, the church at Ephesus, many other churches, and even, in fact, one of our sermons we went through and looked at the different ones, showing various local congregations, again, where the work is done, where we do our work for the Lord. Now, some of these churches were very large, like the church at Jerusalem, especially before it was scattered. It was a very large congregation. A very large group of people met there. And then we can look at a congregation like in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19, where it says that as he's greeting, Paul's greeting various, using various greetings to the Corinthians, various people are greeting them. It says, the churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, if the church is in their house, that means that wasn't a very large congregation. That would have been a small congregation. So there were big congregations and there were little congregations. And that's how it's been throughout history. There's always been congregations that are very large and always been congregations that are small. And sometimes congregations that are large become small. And sometimes congregations that are small become large. So we understand that that's how it works as far as an individual group is concerned. But each one of these congregations were organized and functioned according to God's will. There's the universal church, but it's not meant to function as one big unit. We're not meant to join in with all the rest of the Christians and function all together as one. We're supposed to have congregations in different locations working independently on our own. God left the work up to the local congregation. We have the responsibility and we have the function to do God's work here in Sherman and in the area of Sherman. Where you live, which is somewhere around Sherman, we meet here. But wherever we are, this is our responsibility to work to evangelize, to work to try to build up this congregation, to work to try to build ourselves up. For me to help you and you to help me. For us to strive to be the best congregation we can be. But as Christians, we need to understand that we have responsibilities to our local congregation. And that's why we can't just worship at home. We can't just say, okay, I've been baptized, I'm forgiven of my sins, so I'll just stay home and I'll read my Bible every day. I'll sing a couple of songs to myself. I'll pray, I'll partake of the Lord's Supper, and I can do it all on my own. No, that's not what it's meant to be. It's meant for us to come together into a congregation and work together and worship together in a congregation. And we're also not, it's not intended for us to live in a location, and when we are in this location that we're going to jump from different congregation around here to different congregation, that we're going to say, I'm in a worship with them one Sunday and them the next Sunday and them the next Sunday and have a big rotation going. It's not really how it's meant to be. It's meant for us to be a part of a congregation. Certainly we're out of town sometimes, and we worship with wherever we are when we're out of town. We understand that. But as we are here in this location, we come together and we worship together in this location. So those ideas simply are not in the Scriptures. So what we need to do as far as the local church is concerned, we need to look at a couple of things. We need to see what our responsibilities are to a local church. So we've repented, we've confessed Christ, we've been baptized, we're now added to the Lord's church, we now become a part of a congregation. What do we do now? What are our responsibilities? And I hope this will help us understand how we can better serve the church. Again, so far the meeting's been about trying to get people to the Lord. Trying to get people to be saved from their sins. And now that it's us, mostly just us, as far as the congregation here is concerned, then we need to see what we need to do. And it's not that, okay, we're going to have a gospel meeting every year and then we'll rest for a while and then have another gospel meeting. No, it's after this meeting, we're going to keep working. And we're going to keep trying to become the best church that we can be, the best Christian that I can be. And I'm going to work toward that each and every day. So we're going to see what we need to do, how we can better serve the church of which we are a part. And so the first point is just simply the fact that we need to be a member of a local congregation. And we have examples of those who were. We can go to Paul and look at the Apostle Paul, and remember after he was, Ananias came to him as Saul, and after he was baptized for the remission of his sins, he was told to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Then he knew that he had to become a part of a local congregation. So it was his determination to do that. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, it says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." So Paul, wanting to become a part of a congregation, again, his name's still Saul here, but he's going to become Paul pretty soon. But he wants to become a part of a congregation, and yet Jerusalem is where he persecuted that church so heavily, which caused them to scatter. Jerusalem is where Stephen was stoned. Jerusalem is where Paul was there breathing threats and murder against them. And other places too, but certainly in Jerusalem. So they didn't really think that they should accept him. They didn't know if he was really telling them the truth. Was he really a Christian or not? Well, they were reassured by Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that he was, and they should accept him as a member. So he became a member. And notice what happened when he did in verse 29. "And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him." So he immediately got to work. Once they accepted him at Jerusalem, and once he became a member of that congregation at Jerusalem, he started preaching, and he started preaching things that people didn't like, and it got to the point that they even wanted to kill him. So remember, he was sent away to Tarsus, back to his home, in order to protect him. Well, when we come to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it says as Barnabas goes to find Saul, he's going to go to Tarsus to find Saul. But in verse 26 of Acts chapter 11, it says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." That's where they were first called Christians. They had been Christians, or followers of Christ. But they were called Christians at Antioch. And what is interesting about that is for a whole year it says he assembled there and they taught these people. Taught a great many people there. Paul didn't say, "Well, okay, I've been baptized for the remission of my sins. I'm going to take it easy for a while." He said, "I've been working so hard as a Jew and persecuting Christians. I've been doing all that for so long. I'm tired, and now that I'm a Christian, I'm just going to sit back and take it easy and relax." He said, "There's work to do. And I'm going to get busy in the kingdom. And I'm going to become a member of the church of Jerusalem. And then I'm going to become a member over here at the church at Antioch. And I'm going to work and I'm going to do what I can to help this church be built up and to help save souls around me." That was Paul's attitude. Now, when we become a member of a local congregation, sometimes the choices we have as far as where we can become a member is limited. Sometimes we live in a place where there's not many other churches, if any other churches, close to us. We may live in an area where there's only one. Maybe there's other churches that call themselves the Church of Christ, but they don't do things according to God's will. They don't follow the doctrine of Christ. They stray from it in one way or another. So maybe now there's only one congregation which we can be a part of. Well, what we need to do is become a part of that congregation and then do the very best that we can for that congregation. What can we do? We're not going to sit back and complain and say, "Oh, I wish this congregation was bigger. I wish these people had more gumption about them. I wish they would work harder." We're not going to sit back and have that attitude. Wherever we are, and when we are a part of a congregation, we're going to do our part to make that the very best congregation that we can. And you know what happens is that when all of us do that, when everybody does their part to make it a good congregation, it's going to be a good congregation. And that doesn't mean it's going to grow out the roof. It doesn't mean it's going to be busting out the walls with members. But it means that the congregation is going to be strong and it's going to be healthy, and that's what we want, that's what we desire, that's what God wants of us. We do our part to make it that way. You know, sometimes whenever we have to become a part of a local congregation, sometimes there's more than one choice. Sometimes we live in a place where there are faithful congregations all over the city where we live. When I went to Florida College in Tampa, there were congregations everywhere. There are lots of preachers in Tampa, Florida, and there's lots of Christians there. And you just have your pick. You go whichever congregation you decide to go to, you can go there. The first year I went to one of the biggest congregations there, and I wasn't hardly ever used to do anything. I pretty much sat there and wasn't even acknowledged half the time. So my second year when I went there, I found a little country congregation where Phil Roberts preached. Phil Roberts is past now, but he is an excellent Bible teacher at Florida College. He went to college with my dad, and then he stayed down there and became a Bible professor. And I went to the church where he preached. And they used me to say prayers, they used me to teach class, they used me to do whatever to help with that congregation. And I was used and I was needed. And so I chose that congregation so that I could be used and needed. Now, sometimes when people have more than one choice, they start looking and they're looking for selfish reasons. They start looking and say, well, this congregation has the most kids, or this congregation has the most families my age, or people my age. And so they start looking that way and start looking for selfish reasons. Instead, we should ask the question, where am I needed the most? Where can I do the most good? Where can I actually work in this congregation and they'll know who I am, and I'm just not going to be sitting in a pew somewhere, that I'm going to be helping this congregation? This should be our attitude. It should be our attitude as all Christians. Wherever we happen to be, we should be able to make that kind of choice. And certainly there's nothing wrong at all with choosing to worship with a big congregation. If we want to do that, that's certainly fine. But do it for the right reason. Make a decision for the right reason. But first and foremost, make sure that congregation is following God's doctrine. Because there's signs that say Church of Christ out there, and they're not following what the Bible teaches. They've strayed from it. They're doing things they shouldn't do. They're doing things man's way instead of God's way. So we have to make sure that the congregation of which we are a part is following the Scriptures and make our decision based on that. Well, sometimes, occasionally, we may... here's the one about being sound, worship with a sound church. Sometimes whenever we are looking at groups and we are looking to see whether they are sound or not, and incidentally, Revelation 2 is talking about the church at Pergamos, which had all kinds of false doctrine in it. We won't necessarily turn to it and read it, but there's the teachings there that were not God's teachings, that were man's teachings, and that's mentioned, and Paul is condemning them for that. So we have to make sure that that's not going to happen as far as where we worship. But sometimes we may be in a place where there is no sound group to be found anywhere. That's not so much true down here in the South where we live and in this part of Texas. We can at least find somewhere relatively close to meet. Other places, there may not be a local congregation within 2 or 3 hours from where they live. Even further than that sometimes. And so sometimes, if that's the case, should we just go and find the congregation that's the closest to what we believe and then worship and serve with them? No, we don't need to be a part of a group that's not serving God acceptably. So at times we may have to, if we're in a place like that, start a congregation. Start worshiping God and hoping we can get others to be converted and to join in with us also. My brother-in-law has done that twice, and my sister, when they lived in Charleston, West Virginia, they moved to Huntington, West Virginia, and there wasn't a church in Huntington, a sound church in Huntington, so they decided to start one there. And he started it, and the Christians who were there, who had to travel elsewhere, they started all meeting together and worshiping together there. Now they're in Bozeman, Montana. There wasn't a group there, so they started a congregation there. He and his brother are preaching there. They started this church there. So sometimes we may have to do that if we are off somewhere where there is not a sound congregation. The point is that we have to do what the Bible says regardless. It doesn't matter if it's convenient or if it's easy or not, we're going to follow the Scriptures anyway. So that's the first thing we have to understand about being a part of a local congregation, is we need to worship in such a way that we are worshiping with a sound church, being a part of a congregation that is faithful. Second thing I want us to look at is that as church members, the Bible tells us a couple of things that we are supposed to do when we come together, when we worship together. There's other things we're told to do, like sing and pray and listen to sermons and preach sermons and so forth. But we have to, the Bible teaches us, partake of the Lord's Supper. And if we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, then we are to come together to do that in unity. Now, when we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember the Lord's death on the first day of the week, this is something that every member of the Universal Church must do. Everyone who has repented and been baptized for the remission of their sins, every saved individual needs to remember Christ, needs to remember His sacrifice, what He did for him or her. We need to think about that, dwell on that. That's a commandment for all of us. But remember, the Universal Church is not a functioning unit, and it's just not practical for us to physically, every Christian everywhere, meet in one place and partake of the Lord's Supper together. That's not practical. That can't happen. So what we have to do is, as we divide ourselves into congregations, we partake of the Lord's Supper together here. Now, the Bible is clear that we are all Christians everywhere in the world, are in fellowship with one another whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. For example, if someone's taking it in another part of the world and someone's taking it in the United States of America, in Texas, and then the United States of America in New York, wherever we are, that it's all the same bread and all the same fruit of the vine. That we are remembering the same thing. We remember Christ's sacrifice. We are all unified in that sense. And yet there is a special fellowship that we have as a member of a congregation. So that when you come here and I come here and we meet together and we partake of the Lord's Supper together, this is a close bond that we have with one another. Where we can praise God for what He's done for us together. Where we can be worshiping Him together. And we can all be remembering the same thing when we are gathered together. That's how it is intended for us to do. And so, as we're commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper, and everybody is supposed to take of it, we should be a part of a local congregation, as we said, so that we can do it with others, and so that we can have that fellowship. You know, I could take of the Lord's Supper at home. You know, we could buy the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine and take it at home. But we don't do that. We are a congregation. We are brethren. We love one another. We love the Lord. And we do it together. Well, the second main thing that we're told when we come together that we must do as a congregation is we must lay by in store. That commandment is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 1 through 2, where at this particular time, if you want to look there at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, at this particular time, Paul is telling them that they must have a collection, and this is the same kind of collection that he had given orders to the churches of Galatia to do, it says in verse 1. But he tells them how to do it. He says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So that when Paul comes and there's needs, they're able to give him to what is needed for that particular need. Where it's already been collected, it's already there in a treasury. Now, as a part of a local congregation, the congregation has to have this so that we can operate properly. You know, we're commanded to assemble. That demands we have a place to assemble. If we choose to have a building to assemble in, that's our location, then we're going to have funds to keep up that building. And that's what we use them for. We use them to keep up the building, to buy the books that we used to sing with, to buy the class material for the kids to learn, and even if the adults have class material. We purchase things for the good of this congregation. for the teaching of it and to maintain this congregation. And it's important that we become members of a local congregation so that we can all contribute to that. So that here we are members of this congregation in this location, and then in turn we are able to give of our means to this congregation so that this congregation can continue, so that this congregation can do this congregation's work. And that's why it's so important that we become a member of a local congregation. Now, if we did the, I guess you could call it congregation hopping, whatever you want to call it, as far as going from one week and one the next week and one the next week and one the next week, you're not a part of a congregation. Or if you worship at home, you're not a part of a congregation where you can do that. So when we come together and we are one here, then we lay by in store for this. And of course, we have to use the Lord's money scripturally. We're not going to take liberty with it, do what we think we should do with it. Study the scriptures. What does God say to do with his money and use it in that way? So we lay by in store as members of a local congregation. As members of a local congregation, we are to encourage brethren, and we are to be encouraged by brethren. Look at what the Hebrew writer says about this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. We often turn and look at verse 25 in regard to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and that's certainly a good verse to show that we're supposed to attend. But we're told all around that why. It says, "And let us," verse 24, "consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And then he says, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We assemble together in order to exhort one another, in order to consider one another, and to stir up love among one another. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the church should be? That's what we do. That's what I am supposed to do for you, and you are supposed to do for me. We have this command to motivate one another, to keep one another built up, strengthened in the faith, and help each other go day by day in our maybe difficult lives. Help one another stay on the straight and narrow. Help one another get to heaven. As a local congregation, we do that. We have opportunity to meet together and encourage one another as we are together. Now, we do that one way by singing, admonish others while singing. And these two verses on the screen are the two verses we often use in order to show that we are commanded to sing. And we make the point that we make melody in our hearts. It's not with an artificial instrument. It's with our hearts. But Colossians 3 and verse 16 tells us how we are to speak to one another. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So we're singing. We're singing these songs, and as we're doing that, we're teaching one another. We're encouraging one another. We're helping one another as Christians. And Ephesians adds to that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. It adds to that in saying that we are to speak to one another, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The fact that we are to encourage and be encouraged means that we have to assemble together to do that. The fact that we're supposed to be singing to one another means that we have to assemble together to do that. I can sing hymns at home. I can sing hymns in the car. Sometimes I do, maybe in my head, maybe out loud. But when I come together and I sing here, then I'm singing to you and you're singing to me. And what an encouraging thing that is to hear brethren around me singing and praising God and being thankful to God, singing thanksgiving to God. And it makes me stop and think, well, the way that they're singing and praising and giving thanks to God, do I have that kind of love for Him in my heart? Do I have the same desire that all of these brethren have to serve God? And then as I'm singing and I'm singing praise and thanksgiving, then hopefully you will examine yourself and do the same thing. Are you serving God the way He wants you to? Do you have the kind of love you should have for God as we all should? We always need to attend so that we can fulfill our God-given responsibilities. Always attend. Find a local congregation, become a part of it, and begin attending that congregation for the reasons that we have said. Now, as we are together, worshiping together, we're in one body here, we're one unit, we are a congregation of God's people, then we need to make the point that we should promote unity and purity. Promote unity. Let's look at what God says regarding unity. He shows that division is wrong and that we have to be unified together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that says 11, I believe, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. It says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." God doesn't want contentions among us. God wants unity. God wants love. God wants submission. God wants us to act like a family is supposed to act. "Let there be no divisions, but be joined together in the same mind." And that means if we're going to do that, that we must avoid envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy have no part in a congregation. Envy and jealousy would destroy a congregation. They're two of what is listed under the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. The whole list there, there's envy and jealousies are both in that passage. We need to avoid that. We also must avoid gossip. If we're going to promote unity and be unified, then we're not going to gossip. We're not going to talk behind people's backs, talk bad about people. We're going to love our brethren and avoid gossip. We're going to avoid contention. Contention can destroy a congregation. Look in Titus chapter 3 and verse 9, because verses 9 and 10, and we can go ahead, I guess, and put the next one up there, they kind of fit together, and both this passage fits both of these. In the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 10, says, "Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned." And back even verse 9, "Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless." So you see the contention and you see the fact that people will try to cause division among themselves. And this is often done, as you see on the screen, through having cliques and divisions. Having a clique here of people who have divided themselves. Now, they're not, you know, totally divided, but they just kind of stay with themselves. They do things together. Nobody else is kind of allowed to be in their group. We have to avoid that and not allow that to happen, because the whole congregation should be unified. There should be unity. And we have to make sure that we do our part to stay unified. We must humble ourselves. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Romans chapter 12 has a lot to do which is what a Christian should be, how a Christian should live, how he should treat other people. The last part in particular, starting about verse 9, is just acting like a Christian is the whole point of that. But in verse 3 it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Don't think you're more than you are. Don't think you're greater than you are. And that's what humility is all about. Humbling yourself, realizing that we are certainly nothing compared to God, and we measure against Him and not by our fellow men. And in doing that, if we humble ourselves, then we're going to submit. We're going to submit to one another. I'm not going to think I'm better than you. You're not going to think you're better than me. So we're willing to submit to one another in order to keep peace, to keep unity, to keep the congregation going as it should be going. We should always promote unity and purity in that we should realize a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, when we start bringing in something that would cause division, say, "Oh, well, I heard this doctrine, and well, what do you think about this? And hey, I think we may need to change this to this because I think this might be right, better than the way we're doing it, or even if it's wrong, and yet we say it's right," we bring it into the congregation. Just a little leaven leavens a whole lump. So we have to keep everything pure. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. As we are striving to be the kind of congregation that we want to be. In this particular passage, there was a brother who was sinning, and that was allowed to stay in the congregation. And the warning is, in verse 6, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump." So that's what we have to make sure we do. Purge out the old leaven. Keep the false doctrine out. Keep the sin out. And make sure that the church remains pure. Christ died so that the church could be pure. He died to purify me of my sins. He died to purify you of your sins. And so the church, the congregation of which we are a part, we need to make sure stays that way too. You know, men are fallible. It's hard for us to always judge righteously. If someone claims that they're right, you know, we can't necessarily claim that they're not. We can't say, "No, you're not," if we don't know whether they are or not. We can be lied to. People can tell us things that they are doing or have done that they really haven't done and are not doing. So we can't necessarily be perfect at this, but we need to do our very best to make sure that the church of which we are a part remains pure. And when we do this, when we live in such a way that you're living that way and I'm living that way, and we're all a part of this congregation that meets here, and we're promoting purity and promoting unity, and we're staying together, and we're not going against God's word, and we're not fighting among one another, and we're at peace, and everything's going smoothly and well here, then we need to understand that as that we are the world's Bible. And if people walk through that door and they see us in that light, maybe they know us as individuals out in the world, and they know that we're good people. They know that we treat people the right way. I mean, they know that we're modest. They know that we talk the way that we should. We live the kind of lives that are good. And then they come here and they see it in practice here, where we as a congregation are unified together. We love one another. We're serving God together, then we're going to be their Bible. If they just come one time, they're going to see a group of Christians that are doing what they should do. But on the other hand, if we are treating one another terribly, we're fighting among ourselves, there's no peace, there's no unity, there's just strife and tribulation and struggles here. Everybody's not getting along. Things are not well at all. When people walk through the door, they're going to notice it. And they're going to notice it right away, and they're not going to want to come back. Why would they want to be a part of a group that acts and behaves that way? So that's why it's our responsibility to make sure that we remain pure, to make sure that as we are the world's Bible, that we live that way each and every day, and we act that way here in this local congregation. And I'm thankful that this group is that way. I'm thankful that we love one another. I'm thankful that we're at peace. I'm thankful that things are going well here, and my prayer is that that continues. But it's such a blessing to be with you and to be a part of you and to have that. And I hope that we're able to, through efforts like this, convert more souls, and that souls will be saved so that they can go to heaven too, and they can be a part of us, and they can help in this effort also. But let's be thankful for who we are and be thankful for the congregation that meets here. All of us have responsibilities to this local congregation. All of us have responsibilities that we must do as Christ intends us to do. And I hope that we all do that. We all do our part. We all serve the Lord. Are you fulfilling your part today? If you haven't yet become a child of God, we want you to do that. We want you to become a part of the church, repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you've already done that, but you have sin in your life, you can repent of that. You can pray to God and ask Him to forgive you. He's certainly willing and standing ready to do that. And if we can pray with you, if we can help you in any way, we'd love to help you now. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?